North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. It's Friday, September 27th. You're tuned into North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm joined this morning by Chris Bessler, returning after a few weeks away.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you, Jack.
Nice to have you here. And we are also joined this morning by Max Oswald, sports reporter, sports editor for the Bonner County Daily Bee. We'll do a little fall sports update for you after we run down this morning's news. Good morning, Max.
Good morning.
I'll start with some national news. For those of you who haven't seen it, a Sandpoint man was arrested and is awaiting trial following alleged threats made against Donald Trump online and via phone. Warren Jones' Crazy Bull made up to 9 phone calls and posts on social media. Secret Service reports indicate he appeared as if his thought processes were racing and confused and seemed paranoid, and he has received psychiatric care in the past. I'm not aware of any political affiliations in Bonner County, and I'm not sure that there is any affiliations with any group at all in Bonner County. This seems like just an individual making threats across the country. Then I will mention the weather report, or the weather of a few days ago. That sudden storm that hit Bonner and Boundary County on Wednesday, which came without much warning. The National Weather Service didn't really report on it coming in until late on Wednesday afternoon, within hours of it arriving. 4,300 were still without power as of last night, mostly up north in Boundary County. Tragically, a teen was killed by a falling tree down here. Charlie Miller was a senior at Lake Pendre High School and died during that storm. City Council here in Sandpoint split the vote on a Traverse Park pump track grant application. The mayor crossed the tie-breaking vote. This $350,000 grant from the Idaho Department of Parks and Recreation will be applied for. There are a few more steps. If they get the grant, council will again have an opportunity to accept the funds or not, and then move forward with construction. Deb Rule and Rick Howarth and Justin Dick were in favor. Kyle Schreiber, Pam Duquette, and Joel Espiro voted against. And then, as I mentioned, Mayor Grimm cast the tie-breaking vote in favor of making that application. Pump track is for cyclists. It's looks like, according to the rendering I saw in this week's Sandpoint Reader, looks like kind of a short, banked course for competitive cycling.
Yeah, kids get on with really kind of small bikes, and they can get around the whole track without even by pumping the bike without really even pedaling so much.
That's why they call it a pump track.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the sports editor Max Oswald. What do you know about pump track cycling?
I was talking with Eric Welch about it at the Bee, and that's exactly what we kind of said. You know. Mm-hmm. Sort of a competitive cycling track for anyone of all ages.
Yeah. And I think they have something there in that location now, but this is going to expand and improve it quite a bit. Yeah.
Another city council move here in Sandpoint. Sandpoint has repealed its dog licensing requirement. This is related to the ongoing kind of crisis of relating to the sheltering of stray animals that has been, they've had some conflict with the Better Together Animal Alliance, which until recently had a contract with all the local municipalities to take care of stray animals. When the Better Together Animal Alliance announced that they were going to be significantly raising their rates, the city and county both kind of rejected that proposal. And however, they municipalities that do require dog licensing are required by Idaho state law to also handle stray animals. By not requiring the licensing, the city is no longer legally required by state law to take care of the stray animals. However, the city is moving forward with plans to continue to take care of the strays, but they're going to
some sort of plan. Yeah, it really was an end around that lets them say, you know, we're not going to pick up that stray.
Exactly. Yeah, they're no longer legally on the hook. Now, the county still is. So, I mean that. Yeah, to get kind of analyze this a little bit. Yeah, the county would, you know, would still be required to pick up strays if the city, for some reason, declines to. Now, that according to reporting, that doesn't seem like that's the plan. The city still plans to pick up strays, but they're saying maybe they won't pick up the stray. If it's reported as a stray, maybe they won't pick it up immediately. Maybe they'll go and look and see if the dog looks like it's, you know, a danger to somebody. Or
if he's running out in traffic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, before they decide that they'll pick him up, then the city will hold it for 5 days before it seems like moving it on again to the Better Together Animal Alliance shelter. And no announcement of any plans for euthanasia or anything like that, at least here in the city of Sandpoint. So that story kind of still ongoing, has reached some sort of resolution in the city. We'll see, you know, when those first strays start being reported, how
things I think develop. We'll be seeing many more stories.
I think so, too. Well, right. And there's no
as the impact is felt with stray animals out in the city and the county.
Yeah. Yeah, and I haven't seen any moves by the county to address this change. So that's, you know, we'll see what happens there. I will also mention candidate forums are kicking off. We have two on the schedule. One is next Wednesday, October 2nd, and is hosted by The Daily Bee, Max Oswald's employer and publisher. And then we have another one coming up on the 15th, hosted by the Sandpoint Reader. And both of those, all candidates for contested local races are invited to both of those. And I think, I believe that candidates for even uncontested races, I know for sure at the second one, will be invited to
give a little statement mm-hmm. so they can reach out to their constituents.
And if you're a follower of local elections, you don't want to miss the Wednesday morning show. Local Decision 2024 is back here on KRFY. Tune in at 8 o'clock for all the Wednesdays between now and November 5th.
We're interviewing the candidates right next to, side by side in here. They get a chance to answer the same questions, tell about themselves, and of course, contest one another's logic and on their various positions. So we started out this Wednesday with the Idaho Senate race, Senator Jim Woodward and former Senator Jim Woodward, who is the Republican candidate, and then the independent challenger Dan Rose came in. If you missed that, it's on our website, KRFY.org. You can hear the interview there, and we are going to be going into the House races, the next two issues, then we're going to be in the county commission races the 2 weeks following that. And then on the final Wednesday before the election, we're going to be covering the proposed open primaries initiative, as well as, you'll be maybe surprised to hear this, you probably know that the city of Sandpoint is proposing a 1% local option sales tax.
Yeah.
Well, Pondere also has that tax on their ballot, and I just learned that yesterday because they're
know that. Yeah.
The one they passed in 2019 is expiring. So this is an attempt to renew that 1% local option sales tax that's been in place in Pondere since 2019. And that will be on the ballot for voters in the city of Pondere.
Well, okay.
And
That's news to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that was going to be on Pondere's ballot. Okay. Well, that will be very interesting to hear. That fills up the Wednesday morning show for the next.
Yeah. And then the Wednesday after the election, it'll be November 6th, I guess, right?
Yeah.
The election is November 5th. Jack, you'll join me in here.
We'll recruit
reporters from the Bee and the Reader to come in and join us and do a little analysis on what happened the night before.
Yes.
And who got elected.
Yeah. And I wonder if we'll know at that point.
Well,
locally we'll probably
know. But some of the presidential election, of course, could be held up for many days during the voting challenges and so on that we are kind of anticipating.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, before we talk about sports, and I'll ask you again. Well, yeah, before we talk about sports, what else is in local news? What did I miss here in my rundown of the headlines? Anything major?
One worth mentioning that was in the Daily Bee just yesterday, the Long Bridge Resurfacing Project is underway. So if you drive across the Long Bridge, expect the work's taking place at night, but there can be some delays there.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I'm hoping that they do a better job with this resurfacing than they did last time because it left the pretty bouncy surface across the bridge there.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah. And it's right. Traffic is, I mean, that artery that connects, that's the only thing connecting us to anything to the south. So that, when that is blocked, it causes significant hang-ups and the repercussions are felt on all the streets in town. Before we talk about sports, did anyone have anything else they wanted to say about that that first story, the local man who was arrested here? I had never even heard of him before. I don't know if
I've never heard of him either. I don't know that he was certainly wasn't a prominent member of the community. Of course, just having it go all around the country that a Sandpoint man.
I know,
yeah. And that's how a lot of these stories lead. A man from Sandpoint, Idaho, was making threats against the former president. That's unfortunate.
Right. Yeah. It does see, and it seems like, of course, the tendency is to want to read into that the politics in North Idaho are causing this in some way. But it doesn't seem like he had any real political affiliations at all, it seems like.
I'm sure we'll learn more if it works through the legal process.
Yep. Well then, let's see. I still have my copy of the fall sports preview from about a month ago, right before things kicked off, Max. My first question for you is how correct would you say you were in here?
Okay.
Your predictions right?
Ooh, predictions wise? Yeah. I think pretty accurate. It's been a good year so far.
Okay,
so ready to talk about anything, any sport. You want to start me off with?
Well, let's start off with football. That's you got a game tonight.
Yep. So Sandpoint coming into the game 3-2. Suffered a recent loss to Pocatello, who we lost to in the state quarterfinals last year. That was 49-48. That game was played at Montana Tech University. And it was a shootout. We actually never punted the ball. We did turn it over on downs twice and threw an interception. Besides that, never punted. And I think Pocatello only punted twice. So it was a tough game for both defenses. Great game for both offenses. Sandpoint had 531 yards of total offense, had 318 on the ground, and then 213 through the air. Just one of those games you want to have back. We went through for the 2-point conversion with about 15 seconds left, going for the win, and we did not get it. And then the onside kick, of course, was not very close. So Pocatello took one knee and won the game. So Sandpoint is looking to rebound tonight versus a really strong Coeur d'Alene team. Coeur d'Alene ranked 4th in the state for in the 6A classification. They did start off the year in first, took a loss to Rigby, which has them where they're at now, and then another loss to, they actually lost to Lewiston by 7. Mm-hmm. That game was 0-0 until the fourth quarter, and Lewiston was able to pull it out. So, and you know, Lewiston's another strong team that's now in Sandpoint's league starting this year, so it's a tough schedule from here on out for the Bulldogs, and you know, games at home tonight, senior night, I'm expecting a big crowd. You never know what's going to happen in high school football, mm-hmm. but you know, Sandpoint's put together another really, really good team this year. Should be a good one, regardless of the outcome.
That game against Pocatello was in, that was in Butte.
Yeah, it was in Butte, yep.
Which is, I guess, the closest that they can get to being in between Sandpoint and
kind of halfway between.
Yeah, about 4 hours from
there. That's how big our state is. They have to go out of state to get to the neutral site.
Yeah.
And we usually play those games at Washington Grizzly Stadium, which would be the University of Montana.
Right.
But that was all booked out.
How's the turnout at a game in Butte for two Idaho Sandpoint high school teams?
I heard it was very low.
Yeah.
That's a, I did hear it was low, though.
Right.
So not a lot of people in the stands.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's, yeah, two out-of-state high school football teams playing against each other. I don't think a lot of the home home crowd will turn out for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a four-hour drive for anybody who wants to attend from here, pretty much, four and a half. Well, okay. That the Bulldogs' record right now is...
Yeah, 3-2, and we have made some changes, and in my personal opinion, I think they've been good changes. We're now running a two-quarterback system, so Drew Lehman was a starter this year. He still is the starter, but we've also been having junior Braden Buckout take a lot of snaps, and that started around the St. Mary's game, where he threw 14 for 27. You know, they kind of put him in for three quarters. His arm looked very strong. I actually said to my coworker at the B, I said, I think they're going to put him in, and then... Well, next game he was throwing a good amount of the passes. The last game he only threw 6, but so they'll kind of put Drew at wide receiver, which is his former position. So he's been kind of doing a little bit of everything. You know, 100 passing yards, 50 receiving yards, 50 rushing yards would be a pretty typical line for Drew Lehman.
No,
so,
really?
Wow. Yeah, he's a pretty all around
Swiss
player.
Army knife,
and that's helped us become a lot more dynamic. And then you have Ashley Hawkins senior, he's averaging 109 rushing yards a game. He had 134 last game on 18 carries versus Pocatello. You know, just 5'6", 150 pounds. I mean, he is fast, able to get to, you know, able to find the hole, cut to the corner. He's hard to take down. And then you have junior Dallin Williams, he is averaging about 50 yards a game receiving, and he has 8 touchdowns so far this year. So definitely Sandpoint's number one wideout. And some players to look for on defense is, we've had a lot of injuries on defense, but Gage McElroy, a senior, he's had 2 pick sixes this year, and then Cameron Ziarnik has had 3 interceptions. So
a pick six is where you get an interception and you make a touchdown off it. Yeah.
Yep. He returned 19 yards for a touchdown and 20 yards for a touchdown. And that 9 yards for a touchdown was versus Davis High of Yakima. That is a 4A Washington school with an enrollment of about 2,500 students, and we beat them 37-13 here at War Memorial Field.
Wow.
Yeah. Great. So let's talk about soccer.
Yeah, soccer. Let's go with boys first, because boys kind of have the big headline right now, and both boys and girls are in action tonight at Moscow, so busy night, busy Friday night for Sandpoint Sports. Boys soccer just pulled off a 4-1 win over Coeur d'Alene. That was on Saturday night at War Memorial Field. Going into that game, Coeur d'Alene was undefeated, 7-0. We were 4-3-1, I believe. We had tied Lewiston, who hadn't even had, doesn't, well, at least at the time, did not have a win this year. So we played 6 straight away games, kind of feeling down on our luck, I guess. Came back to War Memorial Field. Beat them 4-1. We'd lost them 4-1 earlier in the year. Really, really wasn't expecting the Bulldogs to be as dominant as they were in that game. That's a huge win for the program and going forward. I mean, We did make the state championship last year, fell to Wood River, who also, again, is probably the favorite this year. But a couple games here for Moscow and then Lewiston tomorrow. I look out for this boys team. They looked really sharp, and they have a really good goalkeeper and Gavin Miles, who came back up for the team this year. And he had 10 saves versus Coeur d'Alene, and I mean, it's some of the best high school goalkeeping I've seen in a long time. Also have to give a shout out to senior Luke Levitt and junior Huxley Hall. They've scored the majority of the Bulldogs' goals and assists this year.
Okay.
So they're 5-3-1 so far.
Yeah, that's
year.
That's quite a win over Coeur d'Alene. Take an undefeated team that's been romping and bury them. Yeah. So.
Okay. How many more games left in the soccer season?
You know, only about 5 maximum, maybe, for the regular season, that is.
Right, yeah.
So there's a big stretch coming up for both the boys and the girls. That'll next week. I believe they both have 3 back-to-back-to-back games. So it could be interesting. Talk about girls' soccer a little bit.
Yeah.
I believe we're also 5-3-1 now. Not 100% sure. But we traveled down to Owyhee in Meridian on Monday. They were last year's 5A state champions, which would now be 6A. And we had them tied 1-1 until the 65th minute, and they were able to score 3 quick goals on us and make it a 4-1 game. Kind of expected from a team like Owyhee. They only have allowed 3 goals this whole year. Marley McCrum, who she has well over 10 goals for Sandpoint this year. She was able to score that goal for Sandpoint in the first half.
Cool.
They look another team that looks really good. And, I thought at the beginning of the year they had a really, really good shot, probably one of the best shots out of all the teams to win a state title. I think that still remains true despite losses to Lewiston and Moscow, who we face today and tomorrow. Those are going to be big, big games for the girls team.
Defending champions, right?
Yes, defending state champions.
Yeah. A little chance for some retribution here the next couple of days.
And they're playing, those are both away, you said already?
Yep, yeah. Both away.
Okay, so girls soccer coming in both, I guess both girls and boys soccer kind of in the, not exactly the home stretch. What is it? It's the mid, you know, they're over the hump anyway. They're past the halfway point. Yes, heading towards the end of the season. They would be past the All-Star break if this were, professional
That's
baseball.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, soccer and football behind us. What a...
Volleyball.
Okay.
To volleyball. Not too much to report on volleyball. We are, in terms of non-tournament games, we are 0-10 this year.
Oh, boy.
Not sure I was expecting exactly 0-10, but... We did get tournament wins over the Lagos School, which is in Moscow, and Timberline, which is in some town I don't know how to pronounce, W-E-I-P-P-E.
I don't know that. So.
It's a smaller school. And we did get wins over them at the Judy Fong Memorial Tournament in Lewiston. But otherwise, we've been having a pretty down year, and it was also something I kind of expected. We have a very junior-heavy team, only 3 seniors this year. So I think we're kind of already, you know, I don't want to say that, but I kind of do. We're kind of looking forward to next year on the volleyball side of things.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're facing really tough teams in Coeur d'Alene, who's like, you know, 13-1 on the season. I'm going to face Lake City, Post Falls, you know. Kootenai County teams have been powerhouses over the last 5 years, and we haven't been able to keep up. We were 5-9 last year, getting our majority of those wins over Moscow. But Moscow's pretty solid this year, and Lakeland actually just beat Coeur d'Alene 3-1. And Lakeland is looking like the favorite for this year's district championship.
Junior heavy, you said. Were there a lot of graduating seniors last year?
There was a lot of graduating seniors. Almost the whole, at least 4 of the starting 6. And then we had, you know, Aubrey Lane graduated, and I actually just wrote about her for my college athlete update.
Mm-hmm.
She plays for Spokane Community College now. She had 17 kills, 12 digs, a block assist, and 35 serve receptions in a 5-set win over North Idaho College.
Well, anybody who understands volleyball will understand exactly what you just said. That sounds impressive.
It is.
I understood part of that. That's a pretty good, I guess we miss her on this year's team.
For
you
sure.
You might say. How are the juniors looking? Next year going to be any better?
Next year's going to be a good year. I mean,
uh-huh. I feel like volleyball used to be one of Sandpoint's, it used to be pretty competitive in volleyball. Maybe I'm mistaken.
You're correct. We had a long stretch of years where state titles were very common and district titles were almost a given.
Mm-hmm.
And, I believe that we'll get back to that one day. I think, Coach Piper Wallin is, she's a 2010 graduate. She played at Weber State. I think she knows what she's doing. I think we're going to back, I could say, she's 0-10, maybe not, but I think she does. I have a very young team this year. These juniors are very solid, Hazel Pierce, Baylen Gonzalez, they're really good players. I'd expect a really good year next year.
Okay.
For Sandpoint.
A rebuilding year this year.
Yes.
Okay.
For the record, the internet says that it's pronounced Weipe.
Weipe. Okay.
Weipe. Okay.
Well, again, that's off the internet. So.
Okay.
So how about let's talk about golf.
Yeah. Golf's a big one, and I was just at the Idaho Club on Monday taking photos for the Bulldog Invitational, which takes place annually at the Idaho Club, and man, that's a tough course. And I did about 5 miles of walking that day to get the photos.
Mm-hmm.
Only to get 2 photos in print. It's like you took a 500, but that's all you can fit in there.
Yeah.
I had like 20 ones. I was like, oh, these are so good. I was picking up two. But girls won that invitational and by about 11 strokes. And then they just yesterday went to
how many other schools were there?
Six.
Well, okay.
And that's so in high school golf, or at least around this area, you'll have every school will host an invitational, and then all the schools will head to that invitational. Some go to some different ones, but usually the same 7 schools: Post Falls, Lake City, Coeur d'Alene, Lakeland, Moscow, Lewiston, and us will all be at the same invitationals at different courses throughout the region. So we were just at the Lakeland Invitational, which is actually held at the Lynx Golf Club in Post Falls. And we won, the girls' side won by 46 strokes.
Whoa.
Over Coeur d'Alene, was second place. So we had a 322 total score over the top 4 players on golf score. And that was a even par 73 by Taylor Meyer. If you know anything about golf, an even par for a high school player is very, very good. And I know she has a lot of college offers right now. So I'm excited to see where she goes. And we also finished with an 82, 83, and 84. That was Claire Lautzenheiser, Reagan, Alexa Toonstra had the 83, and then Reagan Samuels with the 84. And those are also very good scores.
Yeah.
All of those golfers could play in college if they wanted to. And Alexa Toonstra has actually won 4 invitationals this year. So, and she's another golfer that's been in the low 70s frequently. So very good chances for the girls team to make some noise at the state tournament. Of course, Twin Falls and Bishop Kelly still look really good.
They have a longer golf season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
should we touch on running, cross country?
Yeah, a little bit about running.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been, when the boys team has going for their 12th district title in a row, you have pretty high expectations. We'll say in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of been a down year for the boys and girls teams. Although the boys did just win at the Thompson Falls invite in Montana. Beating out 16 other Montana teams, who are the only Idaho team in attendance. Beating out a school like Columbia Falls, that's pretty good. And it wasn't like particularly close either. And the girls also got second, falling to Columbia Falls, but They looked strong. It was definitely a rebound from a couple of weeks ago. And Paul Kent on the boys' side, he's a junior. He, at the beginning of this year at Farragut State Park, he ran the fifth fastest time in Sandpoint history with a 15. I want to say it was 15. It was in the 1540s somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, really looking forward to see what they'll do tomorrow at the Can-Am Invitational in Kettle Falls. Mm-hmm. So north of Colville there.
Can-Am, meaning there's some Canadian teams.
I would have to assume.
Yeah.
I would have to. I didn't even look at the teams list, but you know, I didn't even realize until you just said that that's probably what it stands for.
I guess that's a guess. Yeah.
Canadian American. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's tomorrow.
Yep.
Was that rescheduled from an earlier time?
Oh, you know, they're not heading to that meet anymore, actually. So there's been a lot of changes. We weren't even actually supposed to be at the Thompson Falls invite, and I'm glad you just mentioned that. We were originally supposed to be at Can-Am, but a couple of weeks ago, it changed. Mm-hmm. So we will now be at the Mountain West Classic in Missoula.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be at the and that is a huge, huge meet. Like, there's 70 teams.
Oh, wow.
So, if anyone medals there from Sandpoint, I let head coach Mike Arrett know. I said I'd love a medalist photo because that is a huge meet. And, yeah, thanks for saying that. I almost slipped up there.
70 teams, how do they do, how do you even logistically run a meet like that? I guess heats, of course, and stuff.
There's
like that,
definitely restrictions on times that you'll need to have, and you'll be limited to.
Do they put
seven runners a team, I think. Hmm.
But they do they put like the most competitive people towards the front to give them a.
You know, it's all, I don't know how it will be. But usually it's just going to be all across, all 70 teams across. Now,
wow,
all 70 won't have seven runners. There's going to be some really small schools there. Probably 15 of them won't even have seven.
Yeah.
But and some team, that means some teams will probably share a box. So there might be 55 boxes. Mm-hmm. That's very common in college, but that is the Mountain West Classic is one of the bigger high school meets across the entire country. It's huge.
Mm.
Wow.
And how long is that course?
It'll just be 5K, 3.11.
Okay. Because they have to take advantage of the start, right? So you could be disadvantaged if you're in the wrong spot with that many people starting. Yeah. Mm.
Depends where the first turn's at.
Yeah.
So, yeah, could be.
Mm.
Hmm. Not something I've ever really thought about. The strategy of running. I thought you just go as fast as you can the whole time, you know. But
actually, I little known fact, I ran cross country a little bit.
Awesome.
I didn't know that.
Just my senior year. And and I was at a couple of bigger meets, and it was
it's fun.
You're fighting for position at the start. Yeah.
Elbows are thrown.
Yeah.
A lot of times. Well, not
not always intentionally.
Not always intentionally. Okay,
yeah. Okay. So I think at least swimming, right?
We have had two meets for swimming so far. I believe only there's one on that schedule you're looking at there. I didn't even know they were in action on the 21st until I got the results emailed to me. So I was actually, while I was watching that Coeur d'Alene Sandpoint game, I was typing the swimming results as I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had two meets so far. The last one was just against Lewiston in Moscow. So it's kind of hard to tell where we're at, but the boys were second at the first invitational, only losing to Coeur d'Alene, so beating out all the other big Kootenai County schools. And the girls are the defending state champions, so and they look solid based on the results I've seen. But in all honesty, I haven't looked in depth to the times or anything. I know the boys team, their 200 freestyle relay won at the original season opener. I guess it's called the Icebreaker. That was actually at the University of Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And they won that really convincingly. And they told me before the season they have a good shot at breaking the state record for that event.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Are there any other high school sports in process right now?
I could give you a rundown on some Priest River Clark Fork if you'd be interested.
Sure.
So
a quick one because we're already running over here.
So after losing the first two games, Priest River football won 43-0 over Kettle Falls for their home opener. And junior quarterback Lucas Matthews was 12 for 18 passing with 207 yards and three touchdown passes. He threw two of those to fellow junior Ian LaManna, who had seven receptions, two touchdowns for 135 yards. And then Sawyer Stout, who scored five touchdowns already so far for the Spartans. He rushed 11 times in that game for 55 yards and two touchdowns. So Priest River football 1-2. The last time they shut out a team was the season opener in 2022 versus Medical Lake, who they face today, I believe. So Clark Fork is off for football. And for Clark Fork football, probably important to mention, they only played with eight players in the second half of last game, and that's, mm-hmm. Eight-man football only got eight players.
Yeah.
So we're hoping the season goes forward for them. They're 0-4 so far this year, facing Lewis County on Saturday, October 5th, so they're trying to heal up for that game. They do have about 12 players, but a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. I'm actually planning to head down there with them for that one on the bus and cover it. But I have to give a shout-out to Everett Montgomery, who's a senior this year. In the last game versus Coeur d'Alene, they lost 54-26, but he had all four touchdowns, 360 total yards, and nine of those were receptions for 223 yards. Also had 10 tackles on defense. He's quite the player over there. Wouldn't be surprised if I heard he was going to be playing college football.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's great to come from that small school.
Right.
So...
I have to do a little programming announcement here. We're going to do, since we were off the air for a little while yesterday morning.
After that windstorm?
Yeah. I think we'll replay yesterday morning's morning show, let people catch up on the news from NAMI. NAMI Far North was the guest yesterday, talking about the clubhouse and things like that. And then POAC came in during the second half. So I think that seems like an appropriate way to continue with our programming, and then Autos Eclectic Mix will kick in after that show. Max, thank you very much for coming in this morning. Thanks for the sports reporting, as always. And we'll be back next week with more news of the week. Don't forget, on Wednesday, we'll be broadcasting live from Sandpoint High School, where the Bonner County Daily Bee is hosting the forum, the candidates forum.
And that starts at 5:30?
That is right.
Expecting it to run until maybe 7:30, maybe a little later. And then on October 15th, again, we have a second forum. So the forums are going to have all the same candidates. And during the primary, we split them up because there were so many candidates during the primary. But this is an opportunity for people to, if you miss one forum, catch the other. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a political junkie, you go to both of them because the campaigns do develop as the candidates kind of dial in. Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. We'll continue with the morning show from yesterday. But we'll see you. I'll probably see you on Wednesday at that forum. Max, are you going to go? I guess you got other competitive events to cover. Yeah.
Hey, it's kind of a sport, Matt.
In a way. Uh-huh. Definitely sweating during it, for sure.
Okay. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. And thanks again, Max.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay.